Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dean Richards Entertainment News is sponsored by Walter A. Smith Furniture and Design. Happy birthday to Barbara Streisand today, huh?
Love that. 80 years old today. Isn't that unbelievable?
It is. It really is.
That's crazy. Her Twitter page is filled with birthday wishes, but I learned something that I never knew about Barbara Streisand before. A fan yesterday on my Sunday morning radio show, we were talking about this, and they called in and said, did you know that the album cover for her People album from 1964, People Who Need People, which was a record of the year in 1964, album of the year in 1964, it's from Funny Girl, for which she won her first Academy Award. The album cover shows her standing on a beach, and you would think it's the ocean or something like that. It's North Avenue Beach.
No kidding.
As we found out, she shot that when she was appearing at Mr. Kelly's, the iconic nightclub on Rush Street back in the day. She used to appear there all the time, and they needed to shoot something for the album cover, so they went over to North Avenue Beach, and it's just her standing on the water's edge. But it also won, that album cover won a Grammy Award for Best Album Package that year. But so there's a Chicago connection to that whole thing.
Yeah, well, it does look like an ocean sometimes. It's a big lake.
Yeah.
I imagine it was quite a scene at Navy Pier over the weekend with Golden Girls fans.
Oh, I can only imagine people dressed up like Sophia and Blanche and Rose and Dorothy. They had what they called the Golden Con, a weekend full of all things Golden Girls going on in the main hall at Navy Pier. And fans showed up in costumes, and there were panels and Q&As with writers of the shows and producers. They brought in some of the supporting actors. I was reading the list, and honestly, I'm a fan of the show. I didn't recognize any of the people on it, so they were just dragging people. If they were on the show for 2 minutes, they somehow got recognized, because all of the stars of the show, of course, are all passed away. Mm-hmm. B. Arthur, Rue McClanahan, Estelle Getty, and Betty White. But they had a big vendor's market selling Golden Girls merchandise, and apparently it was a lot of fun. A couple of thousand people showed up for this, so I'm sure we're going to be seeing something like that again sometime in the future.
Yeah, probably for other shows, too.
Yeah.
What movie was number one at the box office over the weekend?
It was a family-oriented weekend at the box office. The animated film The Bad Guys, which is a pretty good movie. It's, fun for the kids, fun for adults, which is, that's my mark of a really good kids movie that doesn't talk down to the kids. It's not lowest common denominator. It's kind of smart and kind of slick. And it's something that the parents can sit through also with their kids. Mm-hmm. Wound up making $24 million for the weekend. The number two movie bounced back. Sonic the Hedgehog 2 came back after it was pushed out of the number one spot. And it took the number two spot. After that, it was Fantastic Beasts, Secrets of Dumbledore, The Northman, and then this Nicolas Cage movie, which I think is hilarious, which Nicolas Cage just spoofs himself and his many on-screen personas in this movie called The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. That wound up being the number five movie.
Well, we will hear a little bit from Nicolas Cage shortly. First, though, what happened to this Supernatural star, Dean?
Well, this was something that was disclosed. Talking about show conventions, there was a Supernatural fan convention that was taking place in New Jersey. This is a show that was on the CW here on WGN for years and years and years and years, 15 seasons in all. But so they have these fan conventions at which the two stars of the show, Jansen Eccles and Jared Padalecki, were supposed to appear. Only Jensen appeared at the weekend, and he told the crowd that Padalecki was lucky to be alive after he was a passenger in a car that was involved in a very, very serious accident. So we don't know his condition. I guess he is okay right now, but he was involved in a very serious accident, and you know, we'll wish him the best, because they were on WGN for years. You know, we used to go to their set and visit with them and talk with them. Super nice guys. So we wish him a speedy recovery.
We will get to news about Will Smith and Johnny Depp next with Dean, sponsored by Walter E. Smith Furniture and Design. Dean, tell us about this Will Smith sighting.
Yeah, his first time that he has been spotted out in public since the slap that shook the world. He was spotted at a private airport in Mumbai. It wasn't not just, you know, slipping in and out quietly or trying to keep a kind of a low profile. He showed up. Paparazzi was there. He took pictures and shook hands with everybody that was there to greet him. There was no word on why he was there, if he was making a movie or, you know, what was going on, but just... You know, he's back out in the public after all that took place a month ago now.
The Johnny Depp trial continues today. What will it be later? Severed fingers, cigarette burns on your face? What do we expect next?
Well, today's going to be the fourth day of his testimony, so who knows? Who knows what it's going to be? His, examination and cross-examination. I think the bigger story of this story that absolutely nobody in the world is tired of hearing about right now is that Amber Heard, his ex-wife, is going to take the stand later in the week. We don't know on which day yet, but with all the allegations of, as you said, severed fingers, bizarre behavior, you know, just like crazy stuff that you've never heard before. We're going to hear her side of it, and her crossing. She will then be cross-examined. So I think you know, the nuttiness is going to continue for at least another week on this.
Yeah, unfortunately or unfortunately, we get to see everything because there's a camera in there, and they play these audio tapes, and we hear those. They both sound a little nutty to me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean that in the nicest way possible.
Oh, yeah, me too.
If their lawyers are listening, when we say nutty, we mean it as a term of endearment.
That's right. We love the nuttiness.
Yeah, I embrace it.
And was Nicolas Cage nutty with you? Because he has kind of a strange reputation, doesn't he?
I like Nicolas Cage. He is a little eclectic.
Yeah.
Nutty, since we're putting it into, you know, beloved kind of terms. He definitely marches to his own beat, that's for sure. And we've seen it in most of his motion pictures, where he plays these really odd personas. And all of that has been brought into his new movie, which was only the number 5 movie for the weekend. I thought it would do a little better at the box office, but kids' movies, there's no competing against kids' movies when those open up. But the movie is called The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, in which he plays himself, a fictionalized version of himself. So when we talked to him, you know, we were wondering about kind of how he developed this character, which is himself, fictionalized version, but he didn't want to even do this role at first.
I turned it down 5 times, I must have. I there was no muscle in my body that told me I should play a character named Nick Cage in a movie. I like to create characters. I like to hide behind characters. I had the two... part element of one, facilitating Tom Gormican, the director's vision of his favorite version of so-called Nick Cage, and also try to do something that doesn't embarrass my family, because the character's name is Cage. One of the disparities is, you know, there's no version of Nick Cage that doesn't want to see his kids. There's no version of Nick Cage that would put career over family. And so those were little, like, adjustments that I made with Tom, because I was also a producer on the movie, to make it more close to the real so-called Nick Cage.
Yeah, this movie is in theaters right now. I'm telling you, it's hilarious. It's, you know, he just completely makes fun of his own persona in this whole movie. So if you're just, you know, looking for some harmless laughs, I am recommending that one.
Is it a little like that John Malkovich movie. Remember that?
Yeah, not as dark. It's not as dark as that. It's more of a kind of like an action. It wants to be Indiana Jones a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but it does make fun of the primary character the way being John Malkovich did of John Malkovich.
Got it, Dean. I saw the play at the Goodman the other day.
I'm so glad.
Sean Hayes. Unbelievable,
right?
And did you guys all keep that one scene a secret?
Well, we sort of did. I mentioned that he was unbelievable. I guess we can say now that the mm-hmm. now that it's closed here, it will reopen on Broadway. But Sean plays Oscar Levant, who was a classically trained pianist, a close friend of George Gershwin. But an amazing pianist, and he was a much sought-after talk show guest back in the 50s and early 60s because he was very unpredictable. You never knew what he was going to say or do. Part of that was because he was suffering with some mental health issues. But he would go on these talk shows and just say wild things, and Jack Parr and some of the others just loved it whenever he did that. So the story is about that. It deals with mental health. It deals with cancel culture of whether or not somebody like that should be on TV, somebody who's unpredictable and says potentially offensive things should be on TV. So there's kind of a serious note to the whole story. But there are a couple of scenes where Sean Hayes, who is also a trained classical pianist, he started playing when he was growing up in Glen Ellen. He does a scene of Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, which is jaw-dropping. It was completely jaw-dropping. Everyone's been asking, is Sean really playing the piano? And Sean is really playing the piano in this, and it takes your breath away. I have been kind of keeping it a secret because I didn't want to spoil it for anybody when they were going to see this because I wanted it to be a surprise.
Yeah, but it was great.
The final performance was last night at the Goodman. They haven't said when it's going to be moving to Broadway, but it has to be moving to Broadway. It definitely will go to Broadway. There are going to be Tony Awards involved. I expect Sean Hayes will be getting a Tony Award for this absolutely stunning performance. Mm-hmm. And how lucky are we that they brought this here to Chicago first? It's been on hold since the pandemic, so they could have easily taken it anywhere else first, but Sean wanted to do it in his hometown.
I said to my wife, it would have been worth the price of admission just to see and hear Sean Hayes play the piano. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, of course, Marianne said to me, really, this is theater that you liked? Yeah. And I said, yes.
Right.
And also, it was short. It was perfect
for
me.
Yeah, it wasn't a long show. Here. Got it checked all Bob's boxes.
Yes, it did. Thank you, Dean. Yeah. Talk to you tomorrow.